Do you think Canadians make fun of Americans like we make fun of them?
No, they're too polite.
It's idiots. That's funny.
Eh.
What? Not good enough for Ag Guy.
Nope.
Doesn't meet Ag Guy's high standards. Give me a break. All right, fine. Here's my new pitch. Ag Guy, you sure are dumb, and I hate you.
How your legs feel, Mike?
Terrible. God. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for whatever hell day it is.
November 28th, 2011.
This is Mike Minotti. I'm hurting. This is Hatch Guy Minotti.
I think you're wearing your hood, like, hiding your face from the pain.
Yeah, I started an exercise program today.
It's insanity.
It's called Insanity. It's very aptly named. Ow. What? Tell them what's going on today, AJ.
We got the news. Then we got, what are we doing? Let's go topical?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. We got our week in gaming, some Zelda, some Mario 3D Land for me, some other stuff.
SWTOR.
Yes, SWTOR.
I have a lot to say about SWTOR.
We do have a lot to say.
I have a lot to say. I don't know about you.
I do.
Oh, okay.
And then the new releases, that'll be the show.
I didn't talk about Zelda last week, did I?
You hadn't played it yet.
How about that? I have a lot to say about Zelda, too, then.
All right.
All right, so news.
I guess that's me, huh?
Yeah.
Whoops, wrong button. There we go. Wait, hang on. There it is. Okay. The new Xbox dashboard, which includes the new interface, Bing searching, cloud saving, beacons, etc., will be launching on December 6th.
Do I need to buy new themes again?
I don't know. That's one thing they never seem to talk about whenever they do a new dashboard launch.
Can I use, like, my original old themes?
You still can.
Kind of.
Sort of.
They're not quite the same.
Skyrim, some patch news. First of all, they released a patch last week that forced, like, it wasn't a Steam Play game before, but it is now.
Oh.
Which I wouldn't have a problem with, except, like, the fact that it is an after the fact, like, you know, just kind of hoodwinks people. Plus, apparently now it locks out some files that people were using for mods. That's never a good thing.
Yeah, you know.
But there was another patch released today on the PS3. It'll come out on the 30th for the Xbox and PC. That's like the real patch. It's going to fix like the, it fixes the frame rate issues in the PS3. It'll fix the texture issues in the 360. I guess there was a bug where there was a wedding scene in the game, and sometimes corpses would spawn into it.
That's so, that sounds like an enhancement, not a bug.
You share the opinion of a lot of people on the internet. So yeah, that's happening. So Sony announced MotorStorm RC. Imagine RC Pro-Am running on the MotorStorm engine.
I will not. I refuse to imagine that.
Okay.
So you can't make me. So there.
Fine.
I have dominion over you, sir.
But anyway, what's cool is it's coming out. They've announced it for both Vita and PS3. And following in Steam's footsteps, you buy it on one, you get it on both.
That's fun.
I like this trend.
Yeah.
Cross-platform multiplayer, split-screen available in the PS3 version. Good times. So GameStop in Canada is...
Canada.
Yes.
Our home in gracious land.
You're not from there. That's not how it goes.
Maybe it is. You don't know.
They're going to be in their GameStop and EB Games stores mixing in the used games and new game sections.
Those sons of a bitch.
But like, you know how the new games have like a yellow sticker so you can tell it's a used game?
Correct.
They're going to like just make them all the same color.
Devious.
Yeah, it actually kind of is. Basically all designed to make it all blend.
I mean, the price will still be smaller on the used games though, right?
A little bit.
You have to be smart now. You can't just depend on colors.
To actually read.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure our Canadian friends will handle this.
Yeah, hopefully. Be smart, Canada. Also in GameStop news, employees are suing the company. Here's why. When you come to or leave work, they have like a manager or someone has to just like check you to make sure you're not stealing anything. Which is, from what I understand, fairly standard practice. I mean, they did it to me at Best Buy. But I guess they're upset that it's like time you're not getting paid, but you're still at work. I never would have even thought of this.
How much time do they spend searching you?
It literally took 3 seconds when I would leave. I'd hold up my jacket, the guy at the door would give it a few pats, and I'd go, maybe it takes longer at GameStop, I don't know.
Do they literally do this to you every time?
If you had a jacket or a bag.
Okay.
If I was just wearing, not like, you know, like in the summer and I was just wearing my outfit, I'd just walk out the door.
This seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
But oh well.
Good luck with that. So EA, deciding not to face a lawsuit, is going to give away the free copies of Battlefield 1943 to PS3 owners of Battlefield 3 after all. You have to go to some website and you enter the code that you got from your like little online pass thing, and you'll get a voucher.
Cool.
Yes.
Have fun with that, everybody. All you people who bought Battlefield 3 for the PS3.
So that you could get Battlefield 1943. Yeah. So the Vita will be coming out soon in Japan, and then a few months later here in the States. And what's a portable handheld launch without a new Ridge Racer game?
I heard this Ridge Racer is very bad.
3 tracks, and it runs at 30 frames per second.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Dreamcast game.
$50.
It sounds like a Dreamcast game without as many tracks.
You can play the tracks in reverse.
Holy shit.
Kind of 6 tracks.
Kind of 6. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty abysmal.
Just get some
it's like
old
a demo.
Tracks. Yeah, it's terrible. That's like that Gran Turismo prologue.
That was 1 track.
Yeah, like that.
But that was free.
Yeah.
So, official Xbox magazine is flying a rumor that People Can Fly might be doing a Gears of War prequel trilogy.
I like their studio name.
It's pretty good.
People Can Fly. Yeah. No, they can't, but okay.
Yeah, these are, of course, the guys who did Bulletstorm. So they're familiar with the tech. They have a working relationship with Epic.
I mean, sure. They probably know they better do because Bulletstorm didn't do that well. So now they just want their studio to stay together. So if somebody says, hey, you're going to make Gears of War games, they'll be like, okay, will you pay us for this? Like, yes. Well, then we'll do this.
We like cash dollars.
I just don't know if like how compelling those stories are going to be. But they're there nonetheless.
Yes.
I mean, who's still talking about Gears of War? That game came out 2 months ago. Who cares?
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Keep making them. Have fun with that.
Sony, meanwhile, may be working on its own Smash Brothers-esque fighting game.
Do tell.
You could have fights that include Sweet Tooth versus Nathan Drake versus Parappa the Rapper versus Jack.
I'm down for it. I wonder if it's going to be like literally play like a Smash Brothers game or if it's going to be like a more traditional fighting game with a health bar.
I don't know.
If I was them, I would just go full out. There's an opportunity here to make a better Smash Bros. Game than Nintendo is willing to make.
Yeah.
Like, one that really appeals to, like, the people who still play Smash Bros. A lot, who like tournament scene.
That's
have a
true.
Decent online thing.
That is true.
Get rid of items and stupid crap like that. Some people say they don't have enough first-party characters.
I think they do.
They do.
I just listed 4 off the top of my head pretty easily.
I mean, you'll be able to, you know, you can use multiple characters per game.
Well, think about it. I mean,
just from Uncharted, you can use...
You got Uncharted.
Elena
got,
and Solly pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. You've got Uncharted. You've got Jack. You've got
Sly Cooper,
Killzone, Resistance, Ratchet and Clank.
Little Big Planet. Infamous.
Yeah, Infamous.
I think there's plenty.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Plenty of properties.
Fat Princess is one of the characters, I think. That's
yeah, that was in the rumor.
That's amusing.
That is amusing.
So, I mean, assuming this is all true, this is the big rumor of the week, but I'd be down for it.
Yeah. Over at Valve, to celebrate the release of Minecraft, they gave Notch, the guy who made it, his own TF2 hat that only he has, where it's like the character wears like the Minecraft dudes.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to play with him and see that, I guess.
Yeah, right? In Batman news, just in time for Christmas on December 20th, they will release a challenge map DLC that will include the Batcave. Which we've never seen in this universe of games yet.
That's not true. The Batcave was featured prominently in Arkham Asylum.
You weren't in the Batcave. You were in like a side Batcave.
I assumed it was the Batcave.
No, it wasn't the Batcave.
Well, it had a lot of his bat stuff in it.
Yeah, then you hear when Batman walks in, he talks about how he set this up as like an auxiliary Batcave in case anything ever happened to the Asylum.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah. In other Batman news, if you haven't been convinced to get Arkham City yet... You might like to know that now if you get the game, you get a free Ultraviolet download for Batman Forever.
That is so random. I have no words for it. Like, Batman Forever.
I know.
Like, how much would that cost to just buy? Like, $1?
They'd pay you.
Yeah, Batman Forever. I only like Batman Forever a little bit. And that's because of nostalgia purely.
Yeah, just because it's so goofy, and that was when like everyone really liked Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I'm not going to pay to ever watch that movie again. Let me just say that. Let me put it
I do still want to hear – I've never heard the commentary from that Batman and Robin by Joel Schumacher. Well,
that's supposed to be amazing because he basically just admits that it was all a giant toy commercial.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
So just a four-hour apology. Meanwhile, Brandon McNamara.
What?
The guy who was the lead of Team Bondi who made L.A. Noir, along with some ex-Bondi employees, have announced their new game, The Whore of the Orient. Which refers to Hong Kong.
So it's going to take place in Hong Kong?
Yeah, in like the early 20th century. Basically think the beginning of Temple of Doom.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the same time frame as L.A. Noir almost?
Yeah.
I see.
Maybe they found their niche.
Like, I guess. So is it really going to be called the Horror of the Orient?
Well, I mean, that was the actual nickname for Hong Kong back then in the underworld. I mean, people are going to not understand that, but that is historically accurate.
I mean, it's fine. It's cool. Whatever. I just don't see, like, Mommy, buy me the Horror of the Orient. You know? Tough sell.
No, let's rate an M for mature, Johnny.
Yeah. Also has the word whore in the title. You know, good luck.
Yes. So... We got the Japanese prices for these PS Vita memory cards, and we were worried they'd still be high in the States. Well, we were right. Rather than just use, you know, SD cards, which have been around forever, or Sony's own other proprietary format, the memory stick, which has also been around forever, they've made some new thing. A 4-gig card's going to run you $30. 8-gig for $45, 16 for $70, and a 32-gigabyte card will be $120 damn dollars.
Jesus. Yeah, now, it's expensive.
If they want to push DLC and downloadable games in this system, they just shot themselves in the foot. Like,
well, not necessarily, because now you have to buy one of these expensive things.
But here's the thing. I mean, presumably, Sony makes more money if you download the game directly from them than if you buy it at Walmart, correct? What?
Yes.
Wouldn't they want to incentivize you to do so? Like,
you might think.
Shouldn't this be like the whole Razer blade thing where the memory card's cheap, but you're going to fill it up with all this downloadable content that Sony's going to make their money on?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I agree. This stuff is
just idiotic. I just don't get it.
Whoops.
There's and the thing is too, but between SD, micro SD, memory stick, which are all fast, reliable, affordable forms of memory, there's no reason for them to do this except to say we want to make money selling you a memory card.
Agreed.
Okay. Could we agree? Also from the Vita, they're saying that the PS1 classics and other game archives, like the TurboGrafx-16 games and things that they have up there, won't work with the Vita at launch. Now, I want to know what your over-under is on this actually ever getting patched in.
It'll eventually get patched in. You're like maybe like probably as long as it took the 3DS to get the 3DS eShop, which was a problem.
That's funny. Hey, remember that?
Yeah, remember how that wasn't just available at first?
Yes.
Whoops. When are we getting our GBA games?
I don't freaking know.
Shouldn't it be soon?
I mean, it can't be that hard to put 10 GBA ROMs up for a download. They've had months.
Yeah, it's about time. They said, like, December, didn't they?
That's what I thought.
So, eh.
But yes. And Uncharted 3 news, a patch came out today that adds the alternate aiming mode, which I guess is, like, how aiming worked in Uncharted 2.
Yeah, I guess everyone maybe they'll stop complaining. I don't know. I never had a problem with that.
I noticed it was different, but it didn't bother me. It also brings back the cutscene viewer, which I'm happy about.
Sure.
And finally, next month, Nintendo will be having one of their Wi-Fi events in Pokemon Black and White to give away the Pokemon known as Victini.
Like this version's Mew?
Basically. It's to celebrate the launch of the new movie. Hang on, I have to remember the title here. The title of the movie is Pokemon the Movie, White-Victini and Zekrom.
That's, you know, that's very Japanese of them.
Right.
All right, you ready for Let's Go Topical?
Yes.
All right. The I Am Live guy insulted PC gamers.
A little bit.
So apparently, no, he didn't. Apparently this guy who made I Am Live, they were asking him why he hasn't released a game for PC. And he basically said, because piracy is too high and all you people asking for it are probably just want to steal it anyways. I don't think this is too far from the truth.
Well, it's fine to say, look, piracy is a problem. It's his wording. And
Come on.
He tried to come back to defend. Well, English isn't my first language.
Well, what was wrong with his wording? It's still
We've heard loud and clear that PC gamers are bitching about there being no version for them.
They are bitching.
You Aren't can't they? Say that, though.
Why the hell not? Is it?
You can't say your customers are bitches.
They're not bitches, but they're just in the process of bitching.
You can't do
that. They're verbing it. The kind of art.
I wish when I worked at Best Buy, when someone's complaining, I wish I could say, listen, sir, you're just bitching about this.
Who is just a PC gamer anymore?
They exist, especially again, as we've discussed.
All right.
We're at one of those times right now where PC gaming is on the upswing.
Right, you know what? Go spend $200 and get a fucking Xbox. Seriously. I mean, I'm sorry. Guys. We're all adults now. You can afford an Xbox.
True.
You should be able to. I don't know. I have no sympathy for these people.
But the other,
and then, like, Valve comes out to, like, make it worse. Like, piracy's not a problem, by the way. Yeah, I'm sure it's not a problem for you, Valve. Okay? I'm sure you're doing fine. Yes, we know. Steam's big success.
Well,
thank you.
Well, this is Ubisoft. I mean, it's not like they're, like, some small, scrappy, independent developer who, by the way, has a pretty good track record of pissing off PC gamers.
They also don't
gamers.
Own, like, the premier
I know, but
PC
I'm just saying,
store.
They don't need any more of the perception that they hate PC gamers because they already kind of own that.
I gotta be honest. I'm tired of. I'm sorry. Like, to me, and I asked this, I'm surprised, like, this whole idea that we are PC gamers, we are our own sect, still exists. That's crazy to me. Get over it.
It still exists.
We're all fucking gamers now.
It still exists because the developers treat it as such.
Oh, come on.
Because of stuff like this.
It shouldn't exist because of the developers treat like that. The developers have long abandoned PC gaming.
That makes it even worse. If everything was
true. How stupid are you then to stay on the sinking ship? Get off the ship. Go buy a console. I don't give a shit. Boo hoo. Like, you can't go buy a console. Like, oh, I'm a PC gamer. No, you're not. You're just a gamer. You don't have to be a PC gamer because you said it once. Now you're a PC gamer for life.
Okay, you've got an Xbox and a PS3. You have one system you prefer over the other, right?
Maybe.
Can't you have all three and prefer the PC over the others?
Okay, but if a game like only comes out for the one, I'm not going to bitch about it.
You just got a really smug smile like, gotcha.
Gotcha. I did.
My bigger point is that I think Ubisoft needs to tread lightly.
It's not Ubisoft, though. It feels like the Ubisoft CEO is saying this. It's the guy who's making I Am Alive.
Here, let me give you another example, then. Because just this week, too, they're talking about how Ghost Recon Future Soldier also isn't coming to PC, but they're doing the free Ghost Recon Online or whatever. And the guy from that studio, where is the quote I want now? He talks about how, like, the reason they're doing that is because, well, if it's free to play, then we don't have to DRM it and there's no piracy, blah, blah, blah. Then he says, when we started Ghost Recon Online, we were thinking about Ghost Recon Future Soldier, having something ported in the classical way without any deep development, because we know that 95% of our consumers will pirate the game.
Well, okay, what's the problem? Is it that you don't believe them?
95%?
Maybe. Do you not believe them?
95%?
Look. All I'm saying is, these people are incredibly bitter about piracy. There might be a good reason for that.
If 95% of everyone who played the theoretical PC release of Ghost Recon Future Soldier pirated it, then how would a company like Valve or id or anyone else making PC games exist?
Valve owns Steam. They can sell their...
Anyone can sell a game on Steam. That doesn't matter.
It helps.
You can make a game a Steam exclusive and have all the same luxuries of piracy protection that Valve has.
95% is a bit ridiculous, but piracy is a giant problem on PC.
It is a problem.
A huge problem.
I just feel like Ubisoft's stance is to assume guilt until proven innocent.
Oh, come on.
Between their DRM schemes and what they're saying.
About this.
Huh?
There's enough people pirating games that if I had a studio, I would definitely look into it if I was releasing games on the PC.
I understand that. I'm just saying it's bad PR to basically say, yeah,
it's not that bad PR. The only people who know about this are the bitchy PC gamers anyways.
They're just saying most of our customers are pirates.
They probably are.
No, they're most. You think 95% of the people who would be interested in playing this game on a computer are pirates.
What do you think the percentage of people who played StarCraft 2 are? How many of those do you think are pirates? I bet 50% is not that unrealistic.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Jeez.
I think it's that bad. I think you underestimate it. I think it's out of control.
I just think you don't understand, like your customers.
Like the savvy college kids, they're not paying for this crap. They know how to use BitTorrent. That's all I'm saying.
That's the other thing. That's my other point. There are games that do fine. Like I said, stuff that's released on Steam. Stuff that's even released like...
Okay, look. If when you're making a AAA franchise that has been established on the PC forever, you're going to be okay. But other than that, you're shit out
Ghost
of luck.
Ghost Recon?
Yeah, Ghost Recon would have no chance in hell on the PC.
That's where it started.
Not anymore. No one thinks of Ghost Recon as a PC franchise. Everyone remembers Grawr for 360. That's what everyone thinks of now when they think of Ghost Recon.
Right. If they think of Ghost Recon.
Yeah. AJ, you would buy a Sony version of Super Smash Bros. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd get that. Do it. I don't care.
I love crossovers.
Copy
everyone
it.
Knows this.
Yeah, copy it like without any remorse. Yep. Go ahead.
What's Nintendo going to do? Make a new one themselves to show you up? Yeah. It'll take 6 years and won't have online play.
It won't have online play, exactly. Honestly, I'm surprised you haven't done this already. Just do it.
I know.
Like that commercial a lot with all those other characters.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be that commercial, the video game. You even get some of those third parties in there.
They could. Like, that's not the thing, too. They could still have Solid Snake in it. You could still have, like, I don't know, somebody from Call of Duty.
Chell from Portal. I mean, why the hell not?
Do that. Why? Yeah, there's no reason not to. So, yeah,
get Ezio in that. He's got no problem being in other people's fighting games.
Christ, honestly. Yeah, you didn't have Kratos right away. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
AJ, you personally don't get Minecraft.
I've never played it.
You've never even tried it? Because, like, it's kind of a big deal, and you have never said anything about Minecraft.
I don't understand. I always hear, like, the two halves of it. Like, it's on one hand, it sounds like this sandbox game where you fuck around, but then I keep hearing stuff about the day-night cycle and zombies showing up, and, like, I'm like, wait, is there, like, an actual game? Like, I guess I just still don't quite understand what it is.
That's why I say you don't get it. Well, I mean, it's true. Like, there is... The main mode is called survival mode, and that's where, there is that whole day-night thing, and you're supposed to kind of build a fortress. But there is kind of like a free mode, free version, I guess, where you kind of have infinite resources, and you just build like crazy.
Okay.
Which is more
like sandboxy. So they're both there, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, I guess survival mode, that's the more real mode, though. Although, I haven't played it since the adventure patch came out, which added more things to it.
But. Well, so I guess it would depend how compelling that stuff is, the survival stuff, because, again, Little Big Planet proved this to me. I guess I'm just not that interested in spending a lot of time to make some elaborate thing. I'd rather just play that stuff. And with Minecraft, I could usually just watch YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's
and I've gotten
true.
A lot of enjoyment out of those YouTube videos. I have no desire to recreate the Enterprise D in Minecraft myself. I'll check it out if someone does it. Sure.
That's fair enough. You're disappointed that Metal Gear Solid 5 isn't actually really happening yet.
Not really.
I'll tell you what. At first, I was like, oh, they tied it up so nicely, whatever. Then I was like, oh, but it might be fun. I like Metal Gear Solid. And now, like, I guess it was just horribly mistranslated or whatever, and that's not actually happening.
Yeah.
We already talked about it a lot last week. But, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5 is really nowhere near the horizon. I'm a little disappointed, almost.
I'm fine with it.
I liked the mechanics of Metal Gear Solid 4 so much. I really do wish they would just make a much longer game with those mechanics. I would have a lot of fun with that, I think.
I guess. It's just I'd want them to learn some lessons in storytelling and things like that, but I feel like they just wouldn't.
I mean, that's true. Is it Kojima? What is he working on? Project Ogre?
Yeah, his new thing.
I don't know what that means. Maybe he's just making Ogre Tactics. Surprise.
With 8-hour cutscenes between battles.
Remember that Castlevania came out and was like, oh, yeah, in Kojima Studios working on it. But, like, no one ever really talked about that after the first trailer came out.
Yeah.
I think everyone forgets that there was that Castlevania game. Lords of Chess. I have it. I haven't played it yet. You are surprised that Modern Warfare 3 outsold Ni No Kuni in Japan.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense at all.
Well, I mean, was it just a matter of time before Japan really got on board with the whole FPS thing?
I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Like, I heard somebody say, like, oh, well, because JRPGs are old hat. I'm like, well, it's not like military shooters are this fascinating new thing.
Yeah, plus, I mean, it's not just some generic JRPG or the sequel, like, you know, the billionth Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest game. I mean, it's a cross between Level 5 is a pretty well-respected developer and Studio Ghibli.
Plus, in Japan, there was already a DS game, so it's kind of a franchise there.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of weird. I almost went and wagged my finger at Japan. I'm kind of disappointed in them. You should have bought more Ni No Kuni than Modern Warfare 3. I didn't even buy Modern Warfare 3.
Quick aside, did you see that play?
No.
We have Monday Night Football on, and Drew Brees just being a stud.
It's muted. Thanks, AJ.
I'm sorry. That was really incredible.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. So then, yes, we're surprised. Okay, then. Moving on. Harwick and Gaming.
Okay. What do you want to do first?
Well, I want to talk about Zelda, I guess, because I didn't
play
it.
Yeah, you haven't played it, and I played a shit ton more.
And I do really like it. I really, really like
this
it.
This is easily the best game Nintendo has ever made. From every aspect.
I like Wind Waker so much. And it's bizarre that it is making me question if this will ultimately be my new favorite Zelda game, because I never thought that would happen.
It
depends on the ending for me at this point.
I just can't believe that in a sequence of the game where you summon a statue that comes up from a pit, and it comes up and you learn something, there's some dialogue with you and Fee, who's like your Navi character in this game. When I was done with it, two things needed to happen in the context of the story.
Did I play this?
No. I'm not spoiling it. I'm being very vague. Two things needed to happen in the context of the end of this scene. Fee had to tell you something, and the statue had to descend back into the pit. I feel like in any game Nintendo would have ever made before, or most Japanese games in general, I would have had to sit there and watch an overhead camera angle that lasted 15 seconds, so I watched the entirety of this statue descend into darkness to the last pixel. Then Fee would start talking to me. The fact that statue goes down in the background as she's talking to me was a strange revelation to me.
It is kind of. I know exactly
what you
mean.
The fact that happens simultaneously. And also the fact that when you, like, if you talk to a character and you say something that shocks them, the visual of this is going to be lost in the audience, but I'll do it for your sake. You don't get that thing where they strike a surprise pose and wobble and then keep looping that same thing over and over.
They
do it once, and then they kind of return to a natural position.
Like, it doesn't depend on animation loops in general nearly as badly as other Zelda games have.
It's just like they finally figured out how to tell a freaking story.
Yeah, it really does seem that way. Like, the story is...
The thing that I thought was most telling, because after we recorded last week's show, you started the game, and I sat there and watched you play the beginning. After that first cutscene, the first thing you said to me was, this feels very Miyazaki.
It does feel kind of Studio Ghibli-esque. And not just because, like, it's on a floating island, a la Castle in the Sky, but the story seems to be told with a much better finesse and a bit more... It's not quite so, like, in your face. Like, here's what's going on. You know, here's what the people you don't like.
Yeah,
you know,
you're just
putting
this very cool, fantastic
world. I like the fact that Zelda and Link very clearly are, like, at least slightly romantically involved in the very beginning of the story.
Yeah.
What a refreshing change of pace.
Right.
That is. But, the motion controls work very well. I saw someone on Twitter, I can't remember now, where kind of complained, like, oh, I just will never get this game because I hit motion controls.
You were arguing with someone.
And I was like, no, it works here. Like, I really can't imagine now. Like, I'm going to have to, but we're going to have to probably go back to a Zelda game now that doesn't work like this.
Right.
It's going to kind of suck because this makes, like, fighting a regular enemy interesting. Because the problem with Twilight Princess was that you were waggling in place of pushing a button. Well, this isn't that, because now there's direction and other things actually
matter.
So it's not just, you're not swinging the remote in place of a button. You're swinging a remote for a purpose.
This is the first motion-controlled game I played where I felt you really couldn't capture this the same way with a controller. You could make it work. Kind of the reverse of how you've made motion controls work, but it would have been better on a controller.
I agree. It's like how Metal Gear Solid Rising is going to kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like Zelda beat them to that whole thing.
I mean, I don't want to say what some of the later items are because I consider that a spoiler. But
I agree.
Some of them, when you use them, you're like, I don't know how this would work with a controller.
Right.
You could kind of figure it out, but you'd lose something.
And it's just, they did a very good job of figuring a way to kind of make up for the Wii's deficiencies. With this kind of neat art style where things can look blurry and it's okay because it's like a watercolor.
Yeah, it's like the watercolor palette.
And the music is finally orchestrated and great.
It's so good. The music in this game is so good.
I love the CD that just comes with the bundle, too. Mm. Oh, that's good. But, yeah, I'm really impressed with this Zelda game, actually.
Yeah, this is, I mean...
It might be the best Zelda game.
Put it this way. Since it came out, I haven't touched Skyrim.
Yeah, me neither.
That should say a lot.
Yeah, really.
That should say a lot about how much I like this game.
I'm pretty hooked on it. It really just might be my favorite Zelda ever. Depends on the ending, because I really like the ending of Wind Waker. But if they can keep this kind of story going, it's just fun to play, and it's very compelling.
Mm-hmm. The other thing too, like I still got some more I want to say about it. I mean, Zelda games have fallen into the trap in the past and been accused of becoming very formulaic.
Right. And that's why I wasn't looking forward to this.
You get your instrument, you go to the fire temple, you go to the water temple, you go to the forest temple.
I love that in the first dungeon, you didn't just use the item you got there to fight the boss. Fight, it was just a sword fight.
Even, like, you get the map, there's no compass.
I love, it seems like they played the game and they said, okay, let's challenge, like, the foundation.
A little bit.
Let's just say, like, let's look at, like, why do we have to have a compass and a map? Because it's tradition. No, that's not good enough. That's not a good answer anymore. Yeah. Like, why do we do that? And you know, they look at it and say, well, there's no real good reason. Like, okay, from now on, when you get a map, it already has, like, the landmarks on it.
Yeah.
It shows you where the treasure chests and things are. You know, like, well, great. Why have, you know, we should have been doing that from the beginning when you think about it.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. Yeah. Like, they really, like, it seems like there was a lot of thought put into this.
Then, too, what
and
I also love.
Flying is just fun. I wouldn't say that. Flying's great.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Flying's always great.
Yeah.
I love, too, how even getting to the dungeons is almost a dungeon in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the world map area is just as rich and detailed and has stuff to do as any of the dungeons does.
It's very Wind Waker-esque in that you have a lot of these kind of floating islands. And
well, yeah, when you're in the sky parts of everything.
Right. But even so, when you kind of drop down and then you're on, like, you know, Wind Waker would be the equivalent of a larger island where you drop down and now you're just in this self-contained area.
Right.
I was kind of like, that's not just all this giant open world thing. I mean, you know, Zelda's not an open world game.
No.
I mean, they kind of always pretend it is. You may as well break it up like this, as far as I can tell.
Also, I'll be vague, because you haven't gotten to these yet, but you get to these things called trials partway through the game. If you've played them, you know what I'm talking about, and we'll talk about it after you've done one.
Yeah.
It's one of the most exciting and original things this series has ever done.
Interesting.
They're really cool. Just because it takes the Zelda play mechanic and just twists it enough to be something really cool.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Be excited.
So let's talk about SWTOR.
Star Wars, The Old Republic.
We were both in the beta.
They had a weekend beta test this weekend, and then as I hinted and Chris told you all a couple weeks ago, I was in a beta test weekend 2 weeks ago as well. They were under NDA, but they lift the NDA. We could talk about past and current experiences. So,
are you going to talk about like your week's worth?
Well, I'm just letting that feed into what I know about the game.
Okay.
So, primarily you and I, we played it a bunch this weekend. You as a Jedi Knight, and myself as a Jedi Consular. We got ourselves level 10. We picked our spec class, but we didn't really play them or anything. Got our lightsabers.
It was just fun.
And we pretty much grouped the entire time.
Mm-hmm. It worked well. I mean, I definitely like a lot of this game. First thing that comes to mind is the problems I have with it. It has the same problem as Dragon Age 2, where it uses the same, like, caves.
Yeah, you go in the same cave, you go in Hutta, you go to the same factory, like, twice.
They're just reusing maps a lot for, like, supposedly different locations.
Yeah.
They're going to get burned on that in reviews bad. Just like they did in Dragon Age 2. I found the race options really lacking.
See, it doesn't bother me, but I understand where you're coming from.
Like, because, like, that's, like, basically, like, you know, like unlike WoW, where you pick a race and that's your starting area depends on your class.
Mm-hmm. And there's,
your race has very little bearing on your actual character, except for appearance.
There is a special skill each one has, but they don't seem too terribly substantive.
And I mean, like, for, like, the Republic, like, there's, what, five races?
Well, there's a little variance within the classes.
Like, two races. Like, one is humans. The other one is humans with blindfolds. Like, that's a separate race.
Unless you're a smuggler or a commando, then it's humans with cybernetic implants.
Right, but it's basically humans. And, like, and basically, they all have the same body type.
Right.
And different colored skin. And then you have Twilight, so I have, like, tentacles. And that's, like, the most outrageous-looking thing. It's not like, you know, like World of Warcraft, where you can play
werewolves
a gnome
and goblins
and werewolves and all this crap. Or even Star Wars Galaxy, where you got to be Thorians or Bothans or Mon Calamari. And, like, I was kind of disappointed. And it's weird because you play the game, and a lot of the NPCs are these races.
Mm.
That just kind of disappointed me. I was a little bothered by that. That my character seems to be kind of vanilla in look. And a lot of the people running around just kind of seem to look the same. It doesn't help when you all have the same companion.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, you get the companion character.
Mm-hmm.
the Jedi Knight companion is this little droid. T7 something. I just call him
T7.
I love him. He's my favorite. I was very upset when they took him away from me for a little bit. It's great, though, because, like, they give him, like, real dialogue where it's, like, everything's kind of like a math equation. So, like, T7 plus Jedi equals look out. Stuff like that. I find him very endearing.
Yes.
And it looks pretty good. And the music's great. I love the music a lot.
Well, to go back to companions, I got the companion with my bounty hunter this afternoon. And what's cool is, you know how you said you got the quest where you got the customized T7, you could change his colors and everything?
Yeah.
I got three completely different looks for her that changed her hair, her skin color, so that she, when I put this on her, she didn't look anything like she did. So that helps her to differentiate her from everyone else's Mako.
I still wonder how the WoW players are going to respond to this. Like, because, you know, the whole thing is like the cutscenes.
Right.
And it's cool and interesting.
See today's Game Stuff comic for reference.
And I think that's great for, like, the big story quests. I kind of get bothered when you have a quest that is basically go kill 10 things.
See,
before you do it, you have to watch this, like, really long thing.
Well, I mean, disclaimer is, I'm the guy who actually reads quest text in WoW.
A lot of people don't.
I know. I understand that. But as a guy who does read quest text in WoW, I love this. I feel like now I'm not just going out and killing 10 whatevers. Like, I feel like there's a reason for me to be doing everything. It helps it feel a little more like a single-player story experience than a grind.
It does feel like that, but it almost to the point where it's like this weird single-player experience inside an MMO.
Yeah, like
weird.
I figured that's what the game would be, and I'm for that because honestly, I mostly solo through MMOs anyway.
I
group when I need it or when I think it might be fun, but primarily I
just
play them
wonder,
solo.
I'm trying to imagine what the end of game content is going to be like with this because
it's very WoW-ish. I mean, it's still, you know, 5-10 mans.
Right.
Things like that.
Well, and another thing, too, is that the main game was pretty much a breeze. It was very easy.
Mm-hmm, but then we finally got to a dungeon that was, like, listed for 2+ players.
And that was,
like,
that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
I almost wish that I was, like, it's this, unlike WoW, where if you, like, have to fight two people at your same level, you might be in trouble. Like, you're basically supposed to fight 4 people at a time.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. So it is kind of a breeze. You just kind of go through it.
And the other thing, too, to talk about how the story integrates with being a multiplayer game, I both like it and kind of have problems with how they handle this. Whenever you get into the conversations between a group, everyone in the group gets to participate in the conversation, which is cool. Because, like, I even like that about the original Guild Wars, was that, like, your character was in these cutscenes. I just like that connection to the
character. They've been doing, like, Final Fantasy XI did that, mm-hmm. even, yeah.
And the way it works is everyone makes their dialogue choice, and then there's a dice roll, and you get to see the outcome. And whoever wins the roll, their choice becomes the answer that's given. And the only problem is we ran into an issue where you and I disagreed on how a quest should be handled. You were trying to get some, like, basically a bribe from these characters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'm not taking it.
I also didn't have a problem with what they were doing. Basically, two Jedi were in love. Now, the way I interpret this, like, I know that the Jedi of that time thought that this was taboo.
You're metagaming a little bit.
I'm not metagating. The whole point
this is the definition of
metagaming. The whole point of the movies is that it's okay for the Jedi to love.
You're not supposed to know that yet. That's why it's metagaming. But
I'm saying that it doesn't give me dark side points. Like, they gave me. They assigned me dark side points because I thought loving was okay. Yeah, well, go fuck yourself.
No, Mike, you're not allowed.
Yeah, honestly. Christ.
But
they also said, hey, if you don't tell people that we're playing hanky-panky here, we'll give you an awesome crystal for your lightsaber.
Yeah, so you made that choice. You still got your dark side points, but
I didn't get my crystal.
But I won the dice roll, so I gave the answer of telling on them, basically, and that's what happened. So, like, I feel like
it was kind of – I was upset at the time.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, I feel like obviously it would have made exponentially more work, but what it made a lot better is you'll notice our characters themselves never talk to each other. There's no interaction there. Like, even, like, what would have been cool is, like, if we picked radically different things, whoever wins the dice roll, fine. That's the answer that's given. But then you could have reacted to it and turned to me and said something like, well,
I mean, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not surprised that's not there.
Right. Because
it's so much extra work.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is the game does a lot of instancing. And it does it very well. I like it.
Yeah, that is done well.
And they're usually blocked off to a class, and they're, like, story areas. Now, if you're in a party with someone of that class, like, I could go into a Jedi Knight instance with you because I'm in your party. But then all of those cutscenes leave me out. So it really felt like more like I wasn't participating in your story. See, I was just kind of there.
And it's kind of like the conflict just of principle, what they're trying to do so much. This really single-player experience inside of MMO.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know how this is all ultimately going to work. I mean, and there's a couple other things. Like, you get a lot of the items you get. I don't think there's crafting in this game. At least I haven't seen it yet. There is.
I got a quest to go see the trainers. Because
you get a lot of items, they just say this item has no use, just sell it. Well, how about instead of giving me a useless item, you just give me gold right away?
Or at the least, when you go to a vendor, just have a button I can push that just sells all my trash.
Like, there's things going on, like, in the next WoW expansion that are smart, and I know that this game's not doing them right away, that make just bothers me. Like, Mr. Pandaria is getting rid of class trainers.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, every time I leveled up, I had to go inside the giant Jedi temple, which was basically empty, had barely anything in it, and walk all around it to find this trainer so you can upgrade my, you know, my one skill.
Right.
Kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Kind of unnecessary. Also, I mean, this isn't necessarily good or bad, but you get a lot more skills, like, in those first 10 levels than you do in WoW. It was almost overwhelming how much stuff I had to
do. I didn't have a problem with it.
I don't have, I'm just saying it's different. There's a lot of things to pick from already.
But I felt like also the leveling curve is a lot slower. I mean, it took us almost the entire weekend to play to get
that's true. I think so, yeah.
So that's probably, you know, good for the game's longevity.
And, like, we just kind of got to the point where the game opened up more. Like, we basically played through the starting areas.
Yeah, we picked our specialization class and, like I said, got our lightsabers, which was really fun, actually.
Yeah, those were pretty cool moments. It's like, I like it, but I'm still not convinced that I'm ultimately going to want to play this over WoW.
I'm pretty on board. I like it a lot.
You really think when Miss Pandaria comes out?
Well, we got a year to worry about that. You
I
know?
Guess so. I guess I just, I'm still not, I still see enough problems. Also, for a pretty late beta, a lot of technical things.
But I'll say this, but the 2 weeks between that first beta and this weekend, I already see massive improvement.
Me and you both had a dead pixel on the top of the screen.
Yeah,
that's
weird. A little thing. That's not the end of the world.
I had models.
I'm talking like,
I had models not appearing for major cutscenes.
That was weird.
Or being shrunk. It was really bizarre.
I wonder if that's just maybe something configured on your computer, because even two weeks ago, I didn't have that happen. But, like, to give just a minor example, 2 weeks ago, if you ran through water, like, nothing happened. Like, it was like you were walking through gel.
I don't mind, like, missing effects stuff. I just have some of the performance issues. I don't know. I bet, like, every MMO is going to be a rough launch for them, I guess.
I mean, their biggest problem will be server capacity. And they're already talking – they've talked about how they're not going to sell as many copies right away, like, supply constraint to help in that regard.
Isn't it available digitally?
Well, yeah, they're constraining that as well.
That's just kind of mean.
WoW did the same thing, actually, as people don't really realize it. Like, they actually pulled WoW off the shelves when it first came out.
I don't know.
So, I mean, they'll be doing that. They're just looking at the server list, there are a lot of servers, actually. A lot. But I feel like it's, I mean, if the beta's an indication, it'll be relatively smooth. I don't think it'll be anything major where, like, the whole game comes crashing down or anything.
I still think it's just very interesting. And one thing I really noted while playing through it, like, there's, like, the local chat.
Mm-hmm.
In local chat, Star Wars The Old Republic is the second most talked about MMO. Like, people are just constantly comparing it to WoW.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they're saying anything good or bad about it. The fact that they're just constantly talking about WoW says a lot to me.
Yeah. That is a bit of a problem.
And, you know, you have to deal with it all the time. And there's a lot of it that's very similar to WoW. Like, you know, playing the Jedi Knight, he's still basically a warrior.
Yeah.
From, you know.
But then, like, the bounty hunter is a little different in that the resource is heat, which if everything overheats, you have to expel it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's different.
That's neat. I agree.
Also, what I liked so much about the combat in this game is everything feels just so much more physical than any other.
Well, the
MMO.
Animations are better because it's a newer
Not
game.
Even just the animation, but even, like, as a bounty hunter, if you shoot a guy, like, if you shoot a rock into a group of enemies, they'll all go flying. Just that kinetic movement is just something you don't really get too often in an MMO. You know, everyone just kind of locks in their movement and animations and everything. And even, like, I just had just what was a really cool sequence of attacks where my bounty hunter launched this. It's a move where you shoot, like, a rocket onto a guy. Not a rocket, but, like, I guess a little grenade or a mine sticks to him. So while it's on him, he's panicking. And he doesn't move, and it blows up. So I shot that. It stuck to the guy. So their melee dude comes running at me. Thing blows up, taking out both of the range guys in the group. I shoot the other one who didn't die from the explosion. Then the melee guy, who also took some damage, comes at me, takes two swings with his vibroblade. My guy, like, dodges out of the way at both of them, and then I click the attack button. He just blasts him in the head with a blaster, and he went down.
I'm sure that was very exciting.
It was awesome.
All right. Are we ready to move on?
There's another game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, to the next game. You want to talk about Mario.
Yes, so I finally got to sink my teeth into it. It's awesome.
It's great. It's a 3D Mario game with a lot of, like, classic Mario sensibilities.
Yeah.
Like the whole power-ups, and it's much more linear.
Yeah.
The 3D
I think that's definitely the way to do it on a console, or a portable handheld, I mean. Jeez, I can't talk. But, yeah, it's freaking brilliant.
It's great. It's a good game to pick up via 3DS. Not really much else to say about it. Simple and clean, like... It's just a very pure game, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
All right.
You know, the story doesn't need to be anything grandiose. Is there anything else we played this week?
I played Spikes for the first time just finally. I wish I had played it sooner because it is a lot of
Spikes, or sometimes see it written as a bunch of Vs. I didn't realize Spikes is how you say it.
I think you just say it Spikes. But it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was watching you play it. I actually apparently own it already.
It's almost like Metroid-esque in that it's like a giant map.
That's cool.
But, like, the whole basis of the game is that you just push a button to... change the gravity from up or down.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do all your platforming.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I like these these side-scrolling platformers that just kind of play off a very simple idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
I'm very proud of myself during this past week.
Great music, too. Great music.
During this past week's Steam sale, I exercised great constraint. The only thing I ended up buying was Magic the Gathering, which we're going to probably check out this week.
I got Magic the Gathering Spikes. All right, you ready for the releases?
Yes.
I mean, this is the first week things have kind of finally settled down.
A little bit.
I mean, Infinity Blade 2 comes out for iPhone 4S and the iPad.
I'll be checking that out.
Heavy Fire Afghanistan, which is on here every week, I swear to God. Steel Armor, Blaze of War for PC. That Jaws game for the Wii, which I also think was on here last week. And Magicka, The Stars Are Left, which is, I think, it's the Cthulhu expansion for Magicka.
Okay. I looked at your Steam profile. It says you have, like, 54 hours playing Magicka. Did you, like, leave it turned on one day or something?
Yeah, that is not true.
That's what I've kind of figured.
Let me see this.
Because Chris also had, like, some Ashcon, like...
Whoa, I have 75 hours. That's not true at all.
Yeah, Chris then was, like, 50 hours. I was like,
well, me and Chris were trying to play it one time. It just wasn't working.
Huh.
So I don't know how it, like, misconstrued that to mean.
Mike's most played game of 2011, yeah, Magicka.
Seriously. Yeah, that's just a lie. Just not true.
When does... So Mario Kart comes out not this Sunday.
December 4th.
Coming. Okay. No, wait. That is this coming Sunday.
Yeah, that would be.
Sweet.
That's going to be exciting. All right, then. I guess that's it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/ExplodingBarrel. Facebook.com/ExplodingBarrel. And, you know, also part of the Couchbound Network, so... check out couchbound.net. Is that their site?
Yep. That's correct.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
The Exploding Barrel Podcast is now part of the Couchbound Network. Check out couchbound.net for new episodes of the Exploding Barrel Podcast, along with other podcasts featuring all kinds of geeky, nerdy stuff.
Okay, but if a game, like, only comes out for the one, I'm not gonna bitch about it.